This morning's Old Testament lesson is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. It may be found in your Pew Bible, page 667. Listen for the word of our Lord. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Zotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who have despised the Holy One of Israel, who are utterly estranged. Why do you seek further beatings? Why do you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But bruises and sores, and bleeding wounds, they have not been drained, or bound up, or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate, your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, aliens devour your land. It is desolate, as overthrown by foreigners. And daughter Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a shelter in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we would have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is a multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. The word of the Lord.
We turn our attention now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, the first 8 verses. If you notice, each of the Gospels begins in an entirely different place. Luke, you have all of the angels and the birth stories, and Matthew, you have a genealogy. Here in Mark, he begins with John the Baptist and the Baptist proclamation of the coming of the Christ. And so that's where we pick up this morning, the first 8 verses. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. Imagine that you are a soldier running across a battlefield. You are shot in the leg and it ruptures your femoral artery. The blood is pumping out so quickly that you have 3 minutes to live. And even if you had a medic right beside you, and this medic pulled out a pressure pack and applied it to your wound, it would take 4 to 6 minutes to work. Your life would be over. That was how, that was the beginning of a recent TED Talk that I watched. And the person giving the talk said that this issue of bleeding and bleeding out was one that was not simply germane or a problem for soldiers, but with every surgeon, everyone in the medical field, the question is, when you have someone who is bleeding rapidly and profusely, how do you stop the bleeding? And he said that no one has had a good solution. That people have been working on this for years, trying to figure out how to do this, and the best they have come up with is sort of a two-dimensional kind of glue stuff. I don't know how many of you have used that stuff that comes in a tube and you have a cut and you put it over and it really hurts. And if it's not bleeding too badly, it may stop it. Right? But if it's really bleeding, it doesn't work. And so what he said was needed was some sort of three-dimensional product that would integrate itself actually with the skin and with the organs of the body. And he said that over the last 4 years, he and his team had been working on this, and that they had actually developed something. It was from a plant-based polymer. Now, all of you who are scientists and engineers, you can explain it to me because I don't understand it. But he said there is this plant-based polymer that they have developed, this sort of stuff that you can squeeze on to a bleeding, it doesn't matter what it is, a cut, an artery that's been cut, and within 10 seconds, it stops the bleeding. He said, like Lego blocks, it rebuilds itself into the extracellular structure of the body and closes it off. And he actually demonstrated it. He took this sort of large piece of beef, and they were had a tube that had blood running into it, and he cuts it open, and the blood just pours out, and he takes this stuff and literally spreads it across it, and it stops instantly. Now, I'm watching this thinking three things. First, I have no idea how they do it. Right? How do you develop this? How do you create it? How does it work? Totally clueless. Second thing I'm thinking is, this is really cool. I mean, if I'm ever in an accident, I want some EMS guy to have this with him when he comes and can apply it to wherever I'm bleeding. The last thing I was thinking, and this is sort of my preacher hat, I wish they had something like this for humanity. I wish they had something like this that I could spread across humanity and close the wounds and stop the bleeding of the world. Because let's be honest, we live in a wounded world. We live in a bleeding, hurting world. Another hostage is executed. Young men are gunned down on the streets of Chicago and Detroit and L.A. We are a world that is wounded because of hatred, because of religion, because of race, because of ethnicity, because of language. Virtually everything you can think of that differentiates us, there's wounds and pain and bleeding, both metaphorically and literally. And wouldn't it be great if there was just something we could take and sort of maybe put in an aerosol form and just spray it all over the world and heal the wounds, heal our wounds. Now, it isn't as if people haven't been working on this for a very long time. In fact, this is what God's been working on from the very beginning of time. This book is a book about God trying to heal the wounds of the world. Whether it was God calling Abraham and saying, through you I'm going to heal all the wounds of the world, or through Moses where he says, here's the law, and now if you guys be obedient to the law, a lot of these things won't happen. or the words out of Isaiah 40 this morning. That was interesting when Bruce was reading that passage. It describes the pain that the people of Judah were in. For those of you who were here last week, and for those of you who weren't, we talked about the fact that there was a point in time in the life of God's people when they refused to listen to God. They refused to be obedient to God's rules and ways. And because of that, they made some extraordinarily poor choices. And even though they were warned not to, they decided they were going to rebel against these people called the Babylonians. And ultimately what happens is what was described in that passage, that the land of Judah was laid waste. But then in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, you hear this, these wonderful words where the prophet speaking for God says, "Comfort, comfort, O my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her warfare is ended, that her term of service is over. God comes and heals God's people so that they can be a healing agent in the world." And then in our New Testament text, the people are hurting again. They live under the Romans. They live with oppressive taxation. They live with their lands being taken from them. There seems to be no hope, and hatred is building within them for those around them. And John says, "Listen, I know you're coming out to me, but God is sending one who's more powerful than I. One who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace and comfort and hope and healing." He's talking about the coming of Christ into the world to be the one great healer. And so the question is, if God's been at work trying to heal the world, if God sent God's own Son, Jesus the Christ, into the world to live and die and be resurrected and through the Spirit to bring healing to the world, why aren't we healed? Why are we still wounded? Why are we still bleeding? And my response would be, because we haven't continually and effectively applied the love and grace and compassion and forgiveness of Jesus Christ into the world. As the guy on the TED Talk is describing this, he says, imagine a soldier who's been shot, and the soldier has in his backpack this pack of this material. And he doesn't have to wait for a medic. He unpacks it, he slaps it on the wound, and instantly it's healed. I mean, the reality there is that you have to apply it, right? You have to take it, you have to rip open the bag, you have to put it on. This week, I went out and bought one of those wires, right, that goes over your roof that you plug in and, you know, to melt the snow, right? And I'm reading the box, and it says, "Installation required." Now, I suppose someone would think you could just take it home and put it on the shelf or leave it in the garage and it would work. But no, you actually need to install it to make it work. But see, this is the thing about the healing power of Christ in the world. It doesn't just kind of magically happen. We are the ones who have to apply it. We have to apply it in our own lives, allowing that love and grace of God in Jesus Christ to heal our hurt, our fear, our pain, our wounds. And then we have to apply it out in the world where the hurt and pain lives. Now, we could do it sort of on the big stage. I don't know how many of you are aware that last week Pope Francis went to Turkey. And while he was there, he prayed in the Blue Mosque because he believed that through that healing could become possible. He met with the patriarch of the Orthodox Church, and both of them said, "We need to get back together. We need to heal this rift in the church." But you can also do it on the small stage. Had a couple of stories come to me this week from church members. One of them, how many of you remember the blessing bags that we did? Blessing bags were these wonderful bags in which we packed up all sorts of goodies. It was some tuna fish, some coins for the laundry, socks, just all of this stuff that people need. And then the intent was you would take a blessing bag, and if you saw someone on the side of the street looking for a handout, you would hand them the bag. Well, one of our members talked about having done that and dropped one off to a man in a wheelchair. His sign said that he was a veteran. And here's this veteran sitting on the side of the road in a wheelchair, essentially begging for money. And so first, she said the man was just shocked. He was like, wow, you know, he was expecting maybe to get a dollar or 50 cents. And here's this bag, obviously filled with stuff. And so our member went on, and she came back by there later on in the day, and here was someone with a van who was probably the man's wife picking him up to take him home. And she said it was amazing. He had the bag open and he was pulling out everything and showing it to his wife. And she said you could see this look of excitement on his face. That's healing. Here is a man who is hurting and who has thought that the world has forgotten all about him, and someone cared enough to give him more than just a little something. And the last is one of our members who teaches at a local university. He has a young Muslim woman student from overseas who's in his class, and she's wrestling with her language and she's wrestling with the content of the class and just seems overwhelmed. And he talks to her and she said, you know, I really believe God can help me through this. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull up one of these empty desks next to your desk, and every time you feel overwhelmed, you just see God there with you, beside you, supporting you, encouraging you. And word got back to our member that this young woman has been visiting with the dean about her struggles, and evidently most of her professors are just really, really hard on her. And the dean said, are all your professors like, you know, hard on you like this? And she said, no, there's one who really tries to help me. See, that's healing at work. That's the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ being poured out in real time in the real world. This is what it means for us to apply it, whether it's in our families or at work or at school. That when we are willing to take this amazing healing power of Christ and let it flow out into the world, healing happens. People's wounds are bound up. The bleeding stops. And so the challenge that I want to offer you for this second week of Advent is this. To ask yourself, how am I helping the world heal? How am I being an agent of healing wherever I am by allowing the love and grace and compassion and forgiveness of Jesus Christ to flow out of me and to bind up the wounds of those around me? How am I letting it bind up my wounds that I might be a healer for others. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you pour out your healing power into us. Give us the courage to apply it not only to our own lives, but to the lives of those people that we meet, that we might help you bind up the wounds of this world and bring healing to all who need it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.